In a 6-3 decision, the U.S. Supreme Court has overturned Roe v. Wade, the landmark decision that in 1973 gave women the right to seek an abortion. The decision means each state will now decide what kind of restrictions or freedoms it provides women seeking an abortion. And in Nevada, the ruling won't have an immediate impact. Abortion protections are codified into state law here, but immediate bans could be triggered in 26 states, including many that border Nevada. And in Missouri, a ban was already this morning triggered. There's also the possibility that Congress could try to enact federal anti-abortion laws. Whether that happens could depend heavily on the outcome of midterm elections in November. And though the decision will have an immediate impact on abortion rights, there's some indication that the high court could also reconsider basic rights to contraception, same-sex relationships, and same-sex marriage. Justice Clarence Thomas urged the court to go back and look at those decisions, which he called demonstrably erroneous. We're going to start with the Wild West Access Fund of Nevada. It helps women find clinics, cover the cost of procedures and travel, and assists women with aftercare. Caitlin Caruso serves on the nonprofit organization's board and manages community outreach. Caitlin, welcome back.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's great to have you. So your organization has been preparing for this since you started last year. And in May, a draft decision was released. We talked about it then. So the decision was expected. But what's your reaction today?
I mean, there's just only so much you can do to prepare for a decision like this. I feel like we've spent the last several months in crisis mode, and the movement in general has spent the last several years in crisis mode. But to see the decision come down and to know the immediate impact it's going to have on so many people, it just feels like a gut punch.
You know, we know the Wild West Access Fund has helped a lot of Texans who have been coming to Nevada for abortions. Texas has some of the strictest laws in the country already, but many states had trigger laws on the books that if Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade, they would outlaw abortion. And so that means almost half the country is now facing the end of choice. With that, what do you expect to happen in Nevada?
I mean, we are all familiar with our healthcare system and its current state here, and we know that it's already on the brink of collapse. We don't have an abundance of doctors and abundance of providers. So I expect to see an incredible increase in travelers, in patients seeking care, and a clinic system and a medical system in Nevada that might not be prepared to meet that need.
Well, there's also a severe lack, like you said, of doctors, but OBGYNs as well. Mm-hmm. They're going to be dealing potentially with a lot of women coming to this state. Do you think basic health care for women will be impacted by this?
Absolutely. And I mean, as we see with the Supreme Court's direction, I don't doubt that it will be long before they start attacking basic rights to contraception and to other basic reproductive rights and health care needs. So I expect we will see a ripple effect that will extend far beyond just access to abortion.
So what are your plans going forward? Are there long days and nights ahead? This has been anticipated, but even as of this morning, the decision's a few hours old. I mean, what have you been doing?
I mean, we have been launched into action. We've been preparing for this moment, so it isn't entirely new, but we have seen media requests coming in by the ton. We are preparing to start accepting even more callers. We're working on education campaigns to make sure people realize that abortion is still legal in Nevada. Regardless of this ruling, we still have access to care in Nevada, and we are still here to support callers to access the care they need no matter what. So we're really just trying to push out that message. You know, we are having abortions forever. We are funding abortions forever. We are not going anywhere, and we want to make sure that everybody in Nevada and everyone seeking care in Nevada knows that, and that is our priority right now.
The Wild West Access Fund, again, funds travel for women. It pays for their board when they're here, aftercare. So even today, I wonder, or over the past month or so, have you seen a big increase in funding in people donating?
Yeah, I mean, we've definitely seen an increase in donations, and we're hoping to see more of an increase in monthly donations, which will sustain us on the long term. But yeah, we've seen callers coming in from Utah, Arizona, and Mississippi, in addition to Texas. So this is before the Roe ruling, before Dobbs has come down, and we only expect it to worsen.
Caitlin Caruso is a board member of the Wild West Access Fund of Nevada. It's a volunteer-run nonprofit started last summer to help eliminate financial barriers to abortion care. So how are you feeling today about the Supreme Court decision? By a 6-3 vote, they overturned Roe v. Wade. That was protection for women who are seeking abortion. That's gone now, and they're leaving it up to individual states to decide how much choice women have or how many restrictions they'll put on abortion or completely ban abortion as well. For some, this is a ruling that they have wanted for decades. For others, it's the start of a slippery slope toward more government control, maybe more intrusion, more control over what women can and cannot do with their own bodies. Some also foresee the growth of illegal and dangerous abortions. Joining us now is Brett from Las Vegas. Welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yep, go ahead, Brett.
Oh, I was just, I'm just blown away how this new conservative supermajority thinks that they can just overrule a woman's reproductive rights and freedom that really should be constitutionally protected. Is for them to rule that women don't have autonomy over their own bodies, but psychopaths or anybody who wants a gun should be able to carry a gun into a crowded space, a crowded city, regardless of what the citizens of that place want, because that's constitutionally protected, to carry a firearm instead of interpreting as like a well-regulated militia. But women don't have rights over their own body. It just blows me away how they can delegitimize their own authority.
You're obviously concerned about this. Is this something that would spur you to act? A lot of people say how Congress goes this fall could impact whether or not the federal government, the Congress, decides to ban abortions nationwide. They could do that now with some confidence because of the Supreme Court ruling. I mean, does it spur you to want to do something?
Well, I've never missed an election since I've been able to vote. But I mean, that seems like such an inadequate solution because of the way the Congress is not really representative of the people, just because of the way they've gerrymandered districts. And, you know, one party can get a lot more votes in grand total, but get fewer representatives in the electoral houses. It's just ridiculous how we tout ourselves as this great democratic power, but we're just embroiled in these partisan conflicts that, you know, one party, particularly the Republicans, are trying to limit access to the voting booth so that they can impose their religious and moral beliefs on everyone else instead of giving us the freedom and responsibility that I would think our founding fathers would have aspired us to.
Brett, thank you so much for that comment. That's Brett from Las Vegas. We also got an email from Robert Henry, who writes, Thomas, Alito, and the three stooges that Trump got onto the court are intellectual idiots. They have intellect but no wisdom. The idea that the Constitution is an absolutely rigid document that cannot be changed is absurd. The idea that if something is not explicitly written in the original Constitution is totally wrong. Other examples of enumerated rights that could be overturned by this logic are interracial marriage, gay marriage. There are too many to list here. And Caitlin Caruso with the Wild West Access Fund, your organization deals strictly with abortion, but I wondered if people in your organization are talking about that as well, that the way Clarence Thomas, Justice Clarence Thomas, wrote his concurring opinion, he wanted to go back, he said, and look at some of those decisions regarding same-sex marriage, contraception. Do you have thoughts on that?
I mean, absolutely. All of these issues are inextricably linked. When we look at the issue of reproductive justice, we see that there are three rights that it primarily focuses on: the right to have children, the right to not have children, and the right to parent the children we do have with dignity. And this is totally going to impact our abilities to raise our families, to to bring up our children in safe environments, to, you know, protect families in America that might not be the, you know, nuclear family, the heterosexual, cis-hetero relationship that, you know, these conservative judges clearly want to see as the standard again. They are living in the past, and we need to refuse this kind of egregious attack on our rights across the board. And it's definitely something that we are talking about as we stand in solidarity with other movements. You know, like the movement for Black Lives, the movement for immigration rights. We're going to see, in particular, people of color greatly impacted by all of these rulings that have been coming out from the Supreme Court. And really, this descent into chaos by these conservative judges must be mitigated as much as possible.
Mary from Las Vegas, welcome to the program.
Yeah, oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. That's okay. Go ahead.
I was thinking how fun that would be to be able, for anybody retired with time on their hands, maybe with a little Prius car, some little electric that gets a lot of miles to a gallon, to be able to go work with this organization Wild West and go out, pick up women and help maybe get a couple of them or three of them in your car and help run them to a clinic, work with the clinic on getting appointments set up and help them.
Yeah, well,
get out there, because some of these women I know that don't have a lot of money, you know, maybe they can find a babysitter or then help them if they don't have the resource. Or even volunteer, throw them a couple of dollars, a couple hundred maybe, to miss a couple of days' work so you can go get it done.
Yeah, Caitlin, you're the manager of outreach. Do you look for people to do that? Are you actively seeking volunteers who would do that kind of thing?
We are always actively seeking volunteers, and we've seen an influx of interested volunteers that we are so grateful for. So please visit our website at wildwestfund.org and fill out our volunteer form, and we can get connected with you in the coming weeks to figure out just exactly where you can tap in.
And Griselda from Las Vegas joins us now. Welcome to the program.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. Go ahead.
I just want to say I'm very disappointed, obviously, that this has been overturned, but I want to encourage all of the women that are listening to go out and vote. I mean, every election matters, local, state, everything, because they will be trying to change everything after this. I mean, gay marriage, they're going to try. And if this matters to you, if this is important to you, then you need to go out there. Because this happened because people didn't, I feel, go out to vote in the other elections. And this is so important that we need to do something. So if, you know, every woman that's listening, man, everybody, just please.
Yeah,
because this is important.
Griselda, thank you so much for that comment. The election this November will be very important. We're going to be talking to a lot of people about that. In fact, our elected officials in Nevada and in Congress reacted very quickly to the decision. Representative Mark Amadei from Northern Nevada, he's a Republican, wrote, "While I am personally pro-life, I have a strong pro-life voting record in Congress. Nevadans voted by referendum in 1990 to legalize abortions. If Nevadans wish to change those abortion laws, this must be done through a proposed ballot initiative." Senator Jackie Rosen, a Democrat, one of our U.S. senators, said the devastating move by the Supreme Court to overturn a fundamental right and nearly 50 years of precedent will have dire consequences for women's health and reproductive freedoms across the country. This decision takes away a woman's right to make their own decision about their health care and their family, handing the power to anti-choice politicians who have been working for decades to enact rigid and harmful restrictions on abortion access. U.S. Senator Catherine Cortez Masto wrote, "This is a devastating day for women in America. People in dozens of states across the country will live under extreme abortion bans, and access to critical care will be threatened all across the U.S. This is absolutely unacceptable." Representative Dina Titus wrote, "Abortion rights are human rights and should not be subject to the political whims of a few. Today's decision is an assault on all women, but particularly those living in minority, underserved, and impoverished communities. They will be forced to take drastic and unsafe measures to self-manage abortions or carry unwanted pregnancies to term." She went on to say, "This battle will be no different, and it's not over yet, than many of the others that brave women fighting injustice have faced. I co-sponsored and voted to pass the Women's Health Protection Act to codify abortion rights nationwide. The Supreme Court has refused to protect our fundamental right to body autonomy, so the Senate must act now to end the filibuster and send this critical legislation to the president's desk. Governor Steve Sisolak said this decision is devastating for tens of thousands of Nevada women, but it's exactly what my opponent wanted. He's talking about the race this fall. Joe Lombardo, the Republican candidate for governor, committed to signing legislation that could roll back current protections codified in Nevada statute, and he left the door open to implementing new barriers to abortion and limiting access to contraception. Representative Susie Lee wrote, "Republicans are on the wrong side of history and we'll show them at the ballot box in November." Representative Stephen Horsford said, I have voted for and fought for a woman's right to choose in Congress. It's past time to get the House passed Women's Health Protection Act to the president for his signature." And the Nevada Democratic Party wrote, "There are no words that can capture our outrage. We call on every Nevadan to join in condemning this ruling and supporting candidates dedicated to the defense of reproductive care in Nevada." And joining me now is Melissa Clement, Executive Director for Nevada Right to Life, the Nevada chapter of a national anti-abortion rights group. Melissa, welcome back to State of Nevada.
Thanks for having me today, Joe.
It's great to have you. First of all, Melissa, your reaction to the ruling this morning.
Well, what has happened today is that a bad case from 1973 has finally been overruled. Ruth Bader Ginsburg and a number of liberal and progressive legal scholars have long said, as have legal scholars on the more conservative end of the spectrum, that Roe was decided, it was just bad law. It was not decided in the right manner. And truly what happened today is that the decision on abortion law was returned to the people, because in 1973, nine men in black robes decided that we, the people, were not able to make decisions on abortion. And as such, it was frozen in time. And imagine if any other medical procedure had been frozen in 1973. And a bureaucratic or a judicial body had said, this is the way we're going to allow this medical procedure to be done, and we're not going to change it at all. And that's what's happened. And, you know, medicine and science have changed a lot since 1973. We have a window into the womb, and it's no longer a matter of conjecture whether that life in the womb is anything other than a very small person. So now... And as you mentioned earlier, in Nevada, nothing changes, because it will require the people to vote on whether they want to keep abortion legal for all 9 months of pregnancy for any reason or no reason, or whether that is just way too extreme. Because, you know, in Nevada, our law is more extreme than all but six countries. I mean, think about that. European countries, they limit abortion at, you know, the first trimester. So I think that, you know, medicine, like I said, medicine, science, all of that has changed since 1973. And I'm glad that we're going to allow the people to decide.
Yeah, your organization does a lot of lobbying. What will be your political steps moving forward in this state as a result of this decision?
Well, thank you for asking. We are working on finally protecting girls, young women, because in the state of Nevada, a girl can get an abortion without even one parent knowing, even if she's as young as 9 or 10 years old. And we've been fighting to provide that common sense protection for decades, but organizations like Planned Parenthood and Democrats have stood in the way of parents' rights of knowing. And so that is going to be our number one goal in the next year. We've got a statutory initiative that we're running right now. We're gathering signatures to force the legislature to vote on this. And if they don't, then it's going to be on the ballot in 2024.
There, you heard Caitlin Caruso a little bit earlier saying that, you know, there's a definitive link between abortion and other rights. abortions now is not a federally recognized right, but other rights such as same-sex marriage, contraception, and Clarence Thomas made it very clear in his concurring opinion that he'd like to see those reconsidered, that those should be coming back to the court. Do you see that as part of the fight as well?
No, that's a lot of hyperbole, and that's trying to gin up anger. And when you know,
you think a Supreme Court member wants to gin up anger?
Well, let me read to you from the majority opinion. The court emphasizes that this decision concerns the constitutional right to abortion and no other right. Nothing in this opinion should be understood to cast doubt on precedents that do not concern abortion. So they are saying very categorically that this is not about contraception. This is not about gay marriage. This is not about any other number of things. This is about abortion only. And so talking about anything else is just trying to scare people. It's scare tactics. And of course that's going to happen because, you know, the last thing anybody wants on the progressive side is for people to think about how extreme the abortion law is in Nevada and was until a couple hours ago in the United States. Abortion for any reason, for all 9 months of pregnancy, all the way up to that last breath. And in California, our neighboring state, they're thinking about extending that right to kill a baby until after birth. So that's what they're trying to protect. And I had a question for Caitlin. I'm wondering, is she going to be helping 9-year-olds get abortions in Nevada as well? I mean, do they have an age limit or will they bring anybody? You know, it should be a day that we're all happy about because all of us have the goal now to educate and to encourage people to pass the laws that protect life or protect abortionists.
Now,
that's what's at stake.
You've been saying that Nevada protects an abortion up to 9 months, up to the day before birth. The law is pretty specific about 24 weeks after fertilization. There are exceptions if the health, the safety of the mother is being considered.
Yeah, so if you look at NRS 442, it says specifically, and the portion that was protected is that up to 24 weeks of an abortion can be had for any reason or no reason. It just has to be done by a doctor. After 24 weeks, it just has to be in a hospital. So that is all 9 months of pregnancy. There isn't anything in statute, in that particular part of statute, that says it has to. There has to be a reason. It's just the health of the mother. And as we saw in the now defunct Roe v. Wade and Doe v. Bolton cases, health could be defined as anything from, you know, true life-threatening conditions to psychological, not ready to be a mother, don't have enough money. It could be anything.
We're talking to Melissa Clement, Executive Director of Nevada Right to Life. We're taking all sides this morning after the landmark decision by the U.S. Supreme Court, which overturns a 50-year precedent. The right, the federal protection for a woman seeking an abortion in this country. The vote was 6-3. There are concurring opinions within that decision that are also very disturbing to a lot of people. We'll get more into that. Nancy from Henderson, welcome to the program.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I wanted to respond to Melissa, who you're currently interviewing. Melissa, I 100% disagree with your whitewashing of the importance of this decision, accusing anyone who questions the fallout from this decision on future access to contraception, same-sex marriage. You're just simply trying to whitewash that and accusing us of hyperbole is really, really insulting. I will share with you that I have two adult children who live in San Antonio, Texas. And based on what's happening there, my children, which are of reproductive age, are already outfitted with Plan B, abortion pills, and will have access. You and your group will never, ever stop my children from controlling their own bodies and deciding when and they want to have children. And for you to insinuate yourself in our personal lives, I just don't understand where you can possibly be coming from. And your false calmness is only, you're only being like this to attempt to make us who have real life implications from this decision and what people are going to suffer, to sit there and be so calm and disregard that as hyperbole is incredibly insulting. And it's really a reflection of why people who share my opinion and my stance simply cannot tolerate people like you.
Thank you for that comment. Melissa Clement, she's speaking to an issue and really a sentiment that a lot of people in this country have, and that is that this is a slippery slope. And she's talking about how you said, you know, Clarence Thomas's comments in his concurring decision were more hyperbole, maybe to gin up anger. People don't believe that. They believe this is the start of something that where we'll see more government intrusion into lives. Maybe first it's women's lives, but maybe then it's other people, men in different health aspects. I mean, could you address that?
Well, I mean, first of all, I have to say, I share Nancy's, she's offended by some of the things that I am saying. I understand that. But you know what I'm offended by? I'm offended by a system that says that women can only succeed if they kill their babies. If they have the right to kill their babies, that's the only way. That's the only thing that stands between me and success as a woman. No, it's not. And I also think it's very, it seems that we've lost the plot that this is, pregnancy happens for a very specific reason, and there are choices all along the way. And we can, when we use abortion as a contraceptive method, and then suddenly say this has got to be protected. Well, we're not talking about contraception. My organization, National Right to Life, we take no position whatsoever on contraception. And a woman's right to contraception is not affected at all.
Joining us now on the phone is Lacey from Las Vegas. Lacey, welcome to the program.
Hi, Joe. Hi. I just had a comment for the woman that was speaking earlier. Obviously, she was pro-life and is really looking forward to this bill being overturned. Her comments about a 9-year-old getting an abortion without a parent consent is really upsetting me, in the sense of, I would like to know what this woman thinks this 9-year-old was doing, prancing around Las Vegas, doing what by herself? And then to just want to withhold access to anybody given any situation, I just think is so asinine of her. I can't even put into words my frustration. It's really disgusting. Excuse my language. That's all I had to say about it.
All right. Thank you so much for that comment. Now we're going to go to Lindsay Harmon, Executive Director of Planned Parenthood Votes. Lindsay, welcome back to the program.
Thank you for having me.
It's great to have you. So Planned Parenthood is probably the most recognizable name in women's reproductive health care. What happens now?
Yeah, so I think, first of all, we're horrified. But I think we've seen this coming for a long time. When Trump was appointed, we knew that he had every intention of stacking the Supreme Court with conservative judges that had political aims. And so we're doing everything we can right now, our health centers are, to accommodate patients in states where abortion is still safe and legal and accessible to accommodate folks from around the nation.
Well, earlier this morning, Missouri right away triggered its anti-abortion law. What can you do? What will you be doing in Missouri? Do you know?
You know, we are going to comply with the law, but we are going to support folks who need access to abortion in any way possible. I think what's really important to remember is that a lot of people don't even know that these trigger bans are on the books in their state. I think it was something like 42% of voters had no idea in the state that they lived that there was an abortion ban. So we anticipate a lot of, you know, pushback from folks in those states. And we are ready and willing to support patients in any way we can in states where we thankfully had the foresight to, you know, protect those rights.
You know, Nevada is now one of a handful of states where abortion rights are protected by law. Do you have a sense yet of how this decision will impact Nevada's healthcare providers?
Yeah, I mean, I think Nevada already faces a healthcare shortage across the board, and we've known that for a long time. And so we are up against some incredible odds, and we really don't know that, you know, this impacts 36 million people of reproductive age across the nation. We do not know to the full extent that this will impact people. And we do know that it's horrifying, that it's going to dramatically impact people's lives. Especially, you know, when you consider, to Brett's point earlier on the call, that, you know, that the right to control your own body wouldn't be constitutionally protected is, you know, it's beyond hyperbole. It's hyperbole. These are the same things we heard folks saying when Brett Kavanaugh and Amy Comey Barrett were appointed, and they made promises.
You have there is a very big election coming up in November. Right now, inflation and the economy are foremost on people's minds. Do you think this will be on the minds of voters, or how are you going to, obviously you want to impress the importance of this on the minds of potential voters. How are you going to do that? Or do you think it's there already?
Oh, you better believe it. We know that it is there already. We have been already talking to voters, and our volunteer rates have gone from 2% to 70%. And we know that, you know, if you look back to when Catherine Cortez Masto was elected, exit polls showed that the number one motivating factor to vote for her was her position on choice. And so I imagine that if the Supreme Court decision today isn't at the top of the mind for voters, it certainly will be. And we know it'll motivate young folks and people of reproductive age who care about these issues. They have had enough. This polls nationally above 60%. And so the notion that this decision is somehow the will of the people, I would say, is hyperbole.
Diane from Henderson, welcome to the program.
Oh, hi. Thank you, Jill. I just want to say I'm not a politician, so I don't have to worry about any feedback. But I'm ecstatic as a U.S. citizen to be living in a country now that doesn't make it so easy for a little life to be taken, with people being killed every day by shootings and all. I'm glad I'm living in a country that says it's not a federal right to do that. And they didn't ban it. They gave it to the states to work it out for themselves. And you said earlier in your show that there were protesters out in Washington saying we trust our women, whatever. Well, I trust my fellow women sisters too. And I hope they will see the hypocrisy of for years fighting against wanting to be under men's rule, wanting equal rights and all that, to see what they're doing with their own needs and wants with this other human being in their body. It's not a body part, it's a separate human being. So I'm just very glad today, and I hope each state will work it out to what people want.
Okay, thank you for that call. We are taking all opinions today on the Roe v. Wade decision, the overturning of that landmark decision by the Supreme Court in a 6-3 ruling earlier this morning. And a lot of politicians have weighed in. We've read some of those. President Joe Biden, just released a statement which says, in part, "Today, the Supreme Court expressly took away a constitutional right for the American people. They didn't limit it. They simply took it away. The health and life of women in this nation are now at risk." He then directed the Department of Health and Human Services to make sure services are still available. He also added, "It is a sad day for the court and a sad day for the country." And then he called for all protests to be peaceful, no matter how angry people are feeling. Meantime, the Nevada Republican Party said today the Supreme Court of the United States issued a historic decision overturning decades of federal overreach and returning the rights to regulate abortion to the states. "We applaud this decision and will continue to advocate in Nevada for the sanctity of life. In Nevada, the right to an abortion was passed by referendum in 1990 and can only be modified by a direct vote of the people. Despite Democrat misinformation, no changes to abortion access in Nevada would be possible until 2024 at the earliest." Melissa Clement, you've been hearing a lot of comments from people supporting the Supreme Court decision, but those also against it. I have this question. If in Missouri, where they immediately triggered an anti-abortion law, do you want women to be put into prison if they violate that law?
Absolutely not. You know, we have never advocated for criminalizing abortion on a woman. Because, you know, every single time a woman faces a crisis pregnancy and she is considering abortion, you know, that she is under such intense pressure, and oftentimes she's being pressured by her boyfriend, significant other, husband, whatever, to get an abortion. No, absolutely not. Any criminalization would be of the doctor or the person that performs the abortion. We, since the beginning, since before Roe, the pro-life movement, and it's not anti-abortion, it is a pro-life movement. We value the woman, we value the unborn, and we try to help her in every way. We have over 3,000 crisis and pregnancy resource centers. We have maternity homes. We have, from the get-go, even though, you know, the opponents will say something else, from the get-go, it's not about just birthing a baby. It's about two lives that we want welcomed into life and protected by law.
Yeah,
and so, you know, and quite honestly, this is not the end. I mean, this is the end of the beginning. And, you know, for somebody like me, the work just gets a lot harder now, because we do need to support these women. We do need to help. We do need to provide the resources so that those babies are protected, those women are protected, and life is protected.
Well, that is one of the criticisms of the anti-abortion movement, is that they want to protect the fetus, the baby. But after that point, you know, the mother, if she's a single mother, she's on her own. So do you support perhaps the increase in taxes in whatever form in this state or wherever, so that the government can provide more help to single mothers?
Well, that's definitely going to have to be part of it. But also, part of the solution has always been our communities and community groups and churches and all of that. But yes, you know, the government is going to have some greater responsibilities as well. And I just would like to point out, you know, the other side, their solution to helping women is just taking them to get an abortion. And that's the end. They've never cared about the physical or the psychological impacts of that very difficult choice. There are women that are listening to me right now, many of them, who've had an abortion in the past. And it's a decision, it's one of those life decisions that isn't just, you know, spur of the moment. It's painful, and it lasts forever. And for those women, I just would like to say, look, there's no judgment from pro-life people. We don't judge people who make choices. And we are here to help you through the guilt and to recover from that.
That's Melissa Clement, Executive Director of Nevada Right to Life. Obviously, very pleased with the Roe v. Wade decision by the U.S. Supreme Court this morning. Lindsay Harmon, Executive Director of Planned Parenthood Votes, which is a lobbying group in Nevada. look, I this isn't a point counterpoint discussion, but Melissa just made a comment that abortion rights advocates, they don't care about the mental health of the woman who is going in for an abortion. You're with Planned Parenthood Votes. I wonder if you could describe a little bit about what does go into that decision when a woman is working with Planned Parenthood.
Yeah, I think it's important to remember that it's a deeply personal decision, and it's different for every patient that comes in our doors. Obviously, we always provide resources, including counseling and detailed kind of information about the procedure. We care deeply for folks in this country that are pregnant. But we understand that ultimately that decision lies with the person and is the relationship between the patient and the provider. What I think is interesting when you think about what we've been through as far as the pandemic and the COVID crisis goes, we loved and relied on doctors and nurses in this country. And the notion that we would turn our back on them and criminalize them for providing basic health care to women is beyond egregious. It's disrespectful. And I think it's a great disservice to the heroes in our country.
Joining us now, Tina from Las Vegas wants to respond to Melissa Clement. Tina, welcome.
Thank you. I just want to respond to Ms. Clement's comment saying, quote, "I'm offended by a system that says women can only succeed if they kill their babies." Ms. Clement, you don't make any other mention about a system that fails women in so many other ways. We have a system here in the United States that doesn't pay women fairly for the same amount of work as men, a system that doesn't believe women when they're raped or have been the victims of incest. The system here in the United States doesn't treat women fairly in so many ways. And an abortion is one way to perhaps save them from a life of poverty, a life of pain. It can reset the clock for them. And you don't address that. You just believe that this system is forcing them to kill their babies. And pro-life groups don't ever address the system failing women in so many other ways. How do you respond to that?
Tina, thank you so much for that. Melissa Clement, did you want to respond to that?
Absolutely. Tina, I agree. Yeah, the system does fail women in a lot of ways. But progressive women's groups tell women that the only way to get out of poverty is through abortion. They tell women of color the only way to be equal is to kill your future. They tell, if we've got a wage disparities, yes, let's work on that, but let's not lie to women and say the reason why that exists is because you do or you do not have a right to kill your offspring. I mean, abortion doesn't solve our problems. Abortion creates other problems. And, you know, we as women need to work together to provide each other the system and the support so that we all feel empowered as women to do what we're intended to do, which is to succeed, to be the most powerful part of our nation. You know, women are leaders and all that kind of stuff. And it's not because of abortion, it's because of the individuality of that woman.
Yeah, Melissa, a little bit earlier, I wanted to get to a point you made, which was I'd asked if there were, you know, if you would support imprisoning a woman who had an abortion in a state where it's not legal, and you said, no, this isn't a criminal act. There actually has been criminalization of a woman who did something like that in Texas, and Caitlin Caruso You wanted to talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, absolutely. We are already seeing, even pre-Dobbs, pre-Roe v. Wade falling, seeing the rampant criminalization of people for their pregnancy outcomes. Most recently, we saw this with Lizelle Herrera in Texas, who was charged with murder for allegedly self-managing an abortion. Literally was reported by the hospital in which she sought emergency care and ended up in jail. And only after the uproar of local reproductive justice organizations in Texas was she able to be released and see those charges dismissed. So it is absolutely foolish to assume that this is not already happening. It won't continue to happen. And it is abundantly clear that that is a goal of the pro-life movement, to ensure that not only the people providing abortions are criminalized and punished as a result, but also those accessing them.
Kevin from Las Vegas joins us now. Welcome to the program.
Hi, how are you?
Great. Go ahead, Kevin.
Well, they didn't, the court did not outlaw abortion. The states could still, you know, make that decision. But when I was younger with my girlfriend, just about 19, 20, and we went to one of those places, you know, whether you call it Planned Parenthood or whatever it was, that, you know, did do the abortions. And they, you know, really talked up the abortion part of it. You guys are too young. You're not going to be able to take care of the baby. You know, yada, yada, yada on that side. On the side of keeping the baby, okay, you know, it just was, there was nothing. It was going to be doom and gloom, and you weren't going to be able to do it. But there would be support. If you got the abortion, you know, you can go on with your life. Everything will be great. And she had two that way. And to this day, 30 years later, it still has made her, you know, very, very upset. It has had an impact on her mental health. And I think that the way they, you know, the way they say, well, we give all this counseling. If you get an abortion, we're going to give you counseling. After they did the abortion, there was no counseling. There was no support. There was no nothing. And on the other side, you know, I have had friends that, you know, have kept the baby, and there's not a ton of support on that side either. But there are people in states, you know, let's say 90%, you know, that are against abortion. So that state can make that decision. But there are states, you know, other states, 90%, want abortion. So I think that those are the type of things people should start to think about, to work together instead of about sort of being against each other. That's the problem with the country, just fighting this one. This one's no good. And if a candidate is for abortion, I'm going to vote for it, and I don't care what else they do. It's gone insane. It makes it too easy, especially with the abortion pill. But again, there are cases where, you know, people, you know, women should be able to have an abortion, of course.
Yep,
but,
yeah.
You know, just, you know, so, that kind of thing. I mean, especially Democrats with, you know, the gun violence, the killing, taking guns away. Well, you know, maybe let's start thinking before we're, you know, killing a baby, depending on where, you know, where that pregnancy is, how far along.
Now, I don't know about your statistic about 90% in other states. I know in Nevada, support for abortion rights is about 70%. It's very high in the state. But I appreciate your comment. Thanks for calling in. Hey, Caitlin, you know, there's been a trend for the majority of the last three decades showing a decline in the number of abortions performed in this country. But since 2020, we've seen an increase in the number of women seeking an abortion. Do you have a sense of why that trend has changed slightly?
That's a great question. I mean, I think in general, we've seen an increase in comprehensive sex education and access to contraceptions, but we're starting to see a lot of that be rolled back in different conservative states. And we can see in the concurring opinion that that is something they are actively after, to continue to block access to contraceptives, to continue to attack access to comprehensive sexuality education. All of these attacks on our rights are totally linked. And it makes sense to me that in the last 2 years, we would see an increase in abortion access as a result, or people accessing and seeking care.
Steve from Las Vegas has an abortion story as well, slightly different. Steve, welcome to the program.
Hello, thank you. My girlfriend and I,
Steve,
and the reason she got pregnant, I'm sorry?
You're breaking up pretty bad, but keep going. We'll see if we can hold you.
Okay. Okay, let me, give me just a second. Let me get out of this bad area. Can you hear me okay?
Yep, go ahead.
Okay, so my girlfriend got pregnant many years ago. We were about 20, 21, I believe it was. She decided she wanted to have an abortion. It was not my decision, but I agreed with it. The reason she got pregnant was something that neither one of us could control. We were using contraception. It was a condom. It broke. She got pregnant. Even the worst possible at that time, child. Remember, this is not a baby we're talking about. It is a fetus. It's a zygote at the time that she got it. Because remember that it's not done, you know, it's only done in the first couple of weeks of pregnancy. It is already restricted to a certain time in pregnancy. So it's not as if it's an actual baby that we're talking about. But nonetheless, she did it. Best decision we made at the time. I mean, years after, we didn't get counseling. She didn't need counseling. We knew that it was the right thing to do. And I'm just glad it happened. I'm glad I had access to it. We wouldn't have been able to afford to go anywhere else if it had been restricted in our state. I'm just so disgusted by this idea that a precedent for 50 years could be overturned by a court that is politically motivated. And we all know that's what it is.
So, Steve, let me ask you this. The previous caller made a big point about the mental health of the woman he was with back when they were 19 or 20. Talk about that. The decision itself, the agony over that decision or not. I mean, what was it like?
I mean, neither one of us was happy about it. We were both, you know, we knew what had happened. We knew what was going to happen. We realized that he's going to get pregnant, almost certainly. You know, we the agony to getting towards that situation, which again was unavoidable. We did the right thing. It broke. It happened. And now we had to decide what to do. And we struggled over it. You know, I mean, we didn't just say, oh, yeah, we'll just go down to the local, you know, Planned Parenthood. And they did not encourage us to get an abortion. We seeked it out. They told us what they would do and what the cost was and how it worked. They don't, in spite of what, I don't know where this guy went and where we went, they absolutely did not say, oh, it's the best thing for you. You need to do it. Your life will be better. They just simply give you the option to do it. And if you choose to do it, they tell you how it is, how it's done and what the procedure is. After we got it done, it was incredible relief. Changed our life. You know, I mean, it gave us the freedom again to realize that, okay, maybe we have to be even more careful from now on. But she didn't go on to have multiple abortions. Neither one of us took it lightly because I don't take these things lightly for any reason. It was a tough decision, but thank goodness it was there and the law allowed us to have it. A lot of people aren't going to have that decision because, yeah, the states are going to restrict it, and they're not going to be able to go anywhere. We didn't have we barely had the money to pay for this abortion at the time, but we scraped it together. That's how a lot of people's lives are. You know, remember, too, that this doesn't affect the Coney Barretts of the world who are going to get abortions no matter what. They don't have to worry about when I'm getting abortion. They're going to find a way to do it. It's going to be the poor and the already, underprivileged who are going to suffer the most under these kind of things. And that's what the R's and cons don't want you to know. You can go to another state. Oh, yeah, like anybody can jump on a plane and go to another state to get an abortion where it's legal. And if states can consider it legal, then why can't the federal government? It's ridiculous. And it's a sad day for our country that we can have a coup, essentially, of something that's a precedent. Because if we can overturn this, why not turn over Board of Education? Why not turn over, you know, any of the other rights that have been decided by the Supreme Court? You know,
We lost you there. Steve, thank you so much for calling in. Again, we are taking your calls. We're talking about Roe v. Wade. And Steve did mention something, Caitlin Caruso, about people who don't have the means to get abortions, who might be in a state now where abortions are banned. Your group does something about that. It's called the Wild West Access Fund. I wonder even if today you've seen maybe an increase in people who have gotten a hold of your group and said, we're coming to Nevada because we don't think we'll be able to have an abortion in our state.
I think right now the entire movement is currently in a little bit of a chaotic swirl, just trying to figure out and get our footing. A lot of people who had patients in now restricted states are having to make abrupt rescheduling, are having to make abrupt travel plans to travel potentially across the country. We really are just going to see the ramifications of this ruling come out in the days to come and the years to come, unfortunately. So we might not see the immediate impact right now as people are, you know, grasping and grappling with what's next for them. But we are surely expecting an increase in callers in the days and weeks to come. And we are doing everything we can to prepare to meet those needs. And monthly donations will help sustain the fund and will help us get that access to care that these people need.
And there will obviously be protests. For many years, anti-abortionists protested outside medical clinics. When that draft decision was released in May, a Wisconsin clinic was attacked. Lindsay Harmon, what are your thoughts on the reversal, the targeting of anti-abortionists by those who are infuriated by this decision?
You know, I think that what we've learned is that violence is clearly never the answer. And so I don't think our organization or any other organization would advocate for that. But I will say that I think people are feeling angry. You have to remember that one in four women in their lifetime will have an abortion. And you are speaking directly to those people that were directly impacted by that decision. And so I think there's a lot of people who are very angry at this moment, and rightfully so. And so I know that Planned Parenthood Votes in Nevada and our, you know, our partner organizations are really advocating for people to show up this November and to put, you know, these issues back on the ballot and prove to the issue that we already know, which is that choice polls very high in Nevada and nationally is popular. So let's quit letting these individual politicians make decisions that, you know, don't accurately reflect what people in this country want and need.
That is Lindsay Harmon, Executive Director of Planned Parenthood Votes. Also with us has been Melissa Clement, Executive Director of Nevada Right to Life, and Caitlin Caruso, a board member of the Wild West Access Fund. I want to thank those three. This is a very tough issue. We've been talking about the Roe v. Wade decision by the Supreme Court, overturning 50 years of precedent regarding the federal right to an abortion. Now it's going to be up to individual states to decide how they want to deal with abortion. And I want to thank people who called and wrote in. You really made this program. We really do appreciate your insights and your views on all sides of this issue. So have a great weekend. Be safe. We'll see you next week. This is State of Nevada.